Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. I want to thank you for joining us. We just hit about a million listeners here out in the United States. We're in 56 countries around the world. So I want to thank you for sharing with your friends and family and associates. And again, thanks for joining us today. Now, research shows that every person who takes one course in personal finance results in a lifetime benefit of at least $100,000. Huge returns, except not every child has access to financial education. That's why financial expert and our guest today, Paul Dantred, said it's up to the parents to teach your kids about finance early, with lessons that include effective spending strategies, the importance of opening up savings accounts. Without financial literacy, education, and schools, children lack essential knowledge on saving and investing, making it easy to develop detrimental habits with managing their money independently. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about Paul. Paul's the founder and CEO of Starpoint Properties. He's the author of the best-selling book, Money and Morons, How to Build Wealth and Protect Yourself from the Great Conflicts. Mr. Dantred, he runs a private equity firm since 1990. He's built in one of the most respectable real estate investment and development firms in the industry with over 3 billion transactions. So basically, he knows what he's doing. He's also a national speaker, speaks at conferences. He's been included in Forbes publications, NetLease Forum, Multifamily Executive, Multifamily House News, and many other publications. Paul, thanks for being with us today on the show.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
This topic is near and dear to my heart because when my kids were first in school many years ago, they had this fathers come into the class day. Basically, I took some time to show the kids how money works, what their parents have to do to buy them that toy that they want. I went through this process of showing them how much they'd have to save and how long they'd have to save in order to get to where they want. And some of the kids didn't like it. Some of the kids did like it. But what it did is it got them to think and talk to their parents. And at the next little sporting event that we had, a few of the parents came up to me and they said, I'm really glad you did that because my son understands how long is it going to take for him to get the Lego set.
Yeah, that's a great way of teaching kids really young because they can relate to it, something material and something they want. And then they can start having some type of construct what savings means, especially when it comes to something they want to buy. So yeah, it's a great way to do it.
Here's the big question I have for you. What got you started in focusing on child education when it comes to finances?
It came to two things. One, when I realized how poor of a savings rate we have in the country. You know, the IRS came out a few years ago with the stat, which was about 50% of the country doesn't have $2,000 in savings for a medical emergency, right? And when I saw the 50% number, I was like, oh my God, that is just staggering, right? And then I started thinking, okay, what's the root cause for this? I came to the conclusion that it was three or four things. One of them was we're not teaching people young enough, literally in their teens, maybe even earlier, that they need to save, what the savings mean, the power of compounding, which Einstein said was the eighth wonder of the world. Mm-hmm. That's much more powerful if you start younger, right? You have more time to compound. So I just realized that one of the root problems in this lack of savings was financial literacy and that gap at a very young age.
I think that's wonderful because a lot of people don't realize if you're going to retire, and I call it the accumulation game, the more you can accumulate when you're younger, the easier it will be later on in life. I had this wonderful conversation with my nephew and his then new wife, both of them had decent jobs, and they're trying to figure out how they should go about buying and selling inside their 401ks and stuff like that. And I said, hold on a second. How much can you contribute? How much will your company contribute? Can you put all that money in there and still live your life? And they said, yes. I said, think about this. You're looking at between the both of you and the contributions your companies make of putting in right around $52,000 a year. I said, now, if you compound that at a 7% interest rate, somewhere in the middle age 50, it's like 54, 55, you'll have $6, $7 million. Now, do you think you can have a nice retirement on $6 or $7 million? And they couldn't even fathom getting there. But when I showed them the math, they said, oh my God. And now they've done it. That was like 5 or 6 years ago. And they've saved a ton of money since then. And because of the compounding, actually, it's better than 7%. They're on a great path. Little things like that make all the difference in the world. And so I was just curious, if you're going to talk about how do we go about teaching kids finances, what's your perspective on that?
First of all, I have 4 children, and all 4 of my children have an IRA or 401k, and they had it when they were in their early teens. Immediately there, that taught them about tax-deferred savings, compounding, and doing it in a vehicle that's really tax-efficient. But start them early. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if they can't contribute a lot every year, it's fine. Let them contribute something. All my kids were taught that, you know, when they got an allowance, 20% of their allowance went into the savings, right? Just automatic. So even if the allowance was $100 a month, $20 was going in, right? So they were learning at the age of 12, 13, 14, what it was like to save, to limit yourself and have some self-discipline. In the United States, consumerism is now a disease. There's plenty of data behind it. And we've got to realize that we are being programmed mainly through a lot of commercials to consume and consume things we don't necessarily need at the expense of our future, right? If you look at the big brands and the big retailers, they spend billions trying to convince us to buy things that we really don't need, right? I'm sorry, but these big corporations who just dollar after dollar advertising, trying to convince us to spend our savings, it's a disease. We've got to stop. They'll take every penny you have in savings if you want to give it to them. So it's good to teach that to the kids at a young age too, right? Consumerism can be a disease. You got to fight it. You have to start saving. Something else I have in the book, Steve, which is people have lost sight of, and what I call as part of the great conflux, is that, you know, human longevity 40 years ago, 50 years ago was you die at 60, 65 years old, right? That was typical. But you also would retire at 60 or 65, right? So there was no real retirement. You were working all the way to what the average human lifespan was.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's 75. We retire at 65. So we have about 10 years that we have to plan for real retirement, right? Our non-productive years, which I call NIPI. If you're part of the younger generation today, there's a lot of data to support that you're going to live to 100 or 105. If you're born today, you're probably going to live to 110 or 115. And again, there's really good data behind that. So now we have this conflux, right, where for the first time in human history, we're living way past the retirement age, right? So we retire at 60, 65. We live to 105. Now you got 40 years of retirement to plan for. That's never happened in human history, ever. 40 years, non-productive years that you have to really plan for and retire, right? That requires more savings, not less. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, as you know, we're saving less. We're not saving more, and we're living more. That's a conflux, and we have to really figure that out.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with any of that, because when Social Security first came out, most people only lived about 6 months. Life expectancy in the 80s went to the mid 70s. Now it's like 82, 83. You're right. It's keep getting longer. And what the reality is, most people don't realize, especially if they're focusing on the nice cars and everything now, that how am I going to be able to afford that income down the road when you're adding in inflation, fluctuation in markets, things like that, taxation that will probably be higher in the future. How do you make all that work? I also love the fact that you talk about starting your kids early, because I did the same thing. You know, if our kids wanted something, they had to save for it. There's many times where I'd see my son in the game shop,
yeah,
video games, wanting to buy a game, and he'd be looking at it and looking at it. He goes, I'm going to think about it for another day. That became our thing. Think about it for a day. Because every time, and he thought about a lot of things for many, many days and never ended up getting them, which is great. And he's just recently out of college and he saved a ton of money just because of things like that, because he's not spending on what he needs. And I think that's great advice that you've given.
And Steve, there's another problem our children have. I think is the most compelling reason why they have to save on a lot more than less. And that's part of its human longevity. But the bigger part of it is our national debt, which is part of what I mentioned in the book. You know, our national debt is now at historical levels. We're past 100% debt to GDP, which is a really important threshold by all experts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot of smart people, Jerome Powell, Jamie Dimon, and others who are starting to warn about the same thing, that our debt is now unsustainable and we may have a debt crisis in the future. It's most likely that it's the younger generation, our children, that are going to have to really deal with this issue. And if we end up having a debt crisis, those that don't have real savings and passive income are going to be really vulnerable. And that debt crisis is real, especially on the trajectory we're at. You know, we're adding $1.5 trillion approximately every year to our national debt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine human longevity with all of this debt, the government might not be in a place 15 or 20 years from now to be able to provide a safety net, right?
Mm-hmm.
CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is just one example. It says Social Security will be defunct or insolvent in the next 10 years, right? And that's without our debt issues. So it's just so imperative.
Paul, stick right there for a second. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We've got Paul Dantred. Wonderful, wonderful topic here. We're talking about educating kids and what's going on and things that people need to be dealing with in the future. We were just talking about the debt. So, Paul, you were just talking about how this debt is over 100% of GDP, whether it's Jerome Powell, Janet Yellen, Jamie Dimon, who runs Goldman Sachs, and many others are saying, hey, we have an issue that we have to deal with. And the concern is, are politicians going to deal with it? And how would they deal with something like that? And then how is it going to affect kids 20 years down the road? Because it might not affect you and I. We might not be here in 20 years, but it will affect our kids.
Oh, it's going to affect our kids. There's no question. We have no political solution to this problem right now. And we have no populist solution to it either. And when I say populist, I mean by voters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part of my book where I talk about money and morons. This is the morons part of it, or the moronic part of it, right? 83% of America says the debt is a real problem and they're worried about it. 83%. But that 83% does not want to solve it, because now the debt is so large that there's no easy solutions. There's no easy fix anymore. We've allowed it to get out of hand. So now all the fixes require real sacrifice. Nobody wants to sacrifice, right? No one wants to raise taxes, cut entitlements, you know, lower Social Security. And we have to do both, right? There's no easy fix anymore. So the voters aren't voting for politicians and giving them a mandate that says, fix this problem, because they don't want to sacrifice. So they just kick the can down the road, which will eventually lead to a debt crisis. You know, that's what Jerome Powell just said, the head of the Fed, right? Nonpartisan, not political, just running our Federal Reserve, came out and said, if we don't have an adult conversation about debt, this is going to lead to crisis. Jamie Dimon, head of JP Morgan, one of the leading thinkers, you know, in our banking system and finance, right? Also said the same thing, said we're going to have a banking crisis if we don't fix this debt issue. So we got a lot of smart people warning us now. We're still not listening. We're still not saying, okay, it's time to sacrifice. It's time to cut back. It's time to be disciplined. No, we're going to just let the debt keep growing until we have a crisis. And even more reason why we need to save, even more reason why we need to have that nest egg and that safety net. And we got to teach kids about it, because we're racking up all this debt that they're going to have to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right. And right now you see it in politics. One side says, hey, they're trying to attack your Social Security. The other side says, hey, you're trying to attack Social Security. But nobody wants to attack the Social Security, because what it's going to mean is people are going to be paying more out of their paycheck every single month if they're going to attack it. People might not be getting it as early as they thought, or getting less than they thought, but some things like that need to take place in order for Social Security to be solvent. Because if Social Security is not solvent, we have some serious issues with a lot of older people in this country, because it's going to be very tough when you have what almost half of our country living off Social Security as a primary retirement plan. That gets really hard. We could see a lot more seniors in the homeless zone. I agree with you. We definitely need to figure that out. But like you said before, it starts early. So yeah. I like the way you talked about having your kids start saving early. How did you start teaching them about spending and setting a budget and things like that?
You know, it was a couple of ways. One, it was an allowance. So they realized how much they got and they had to stay within that. And it was also having the strength as a parent to say no. It's hard. You want to give your kids everything. There's this great book called The Blessing of the Skinny, and it was written by a child psychologist. And the book's title is sort of self-explanatory. You got to let your kids fall and get up. Right? It's okay if they get injured, right? A minor injury, because it teaches them resilience, it teaches them how to get up and keep going. Also, part of what the book says, it's okay to tell them no, right? Because them hearing no, there's a lot of value in it. Especially they've run out of their allowance, right? Oh, mom, I don't have any more money, but I really want this. Right? I really want this toy, or I really want to go out with lunch with my girlfriend, right? But I spent all my allowance. That no teaches them that you have to save. You have to be thoughtful. You've got to be disciplined. There isn't an endless amount of money, right? You can always keep spending and then go into debt, right? Credit card debt in the United States is now at an all-time high again, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because probably when they were younger, they weren't taught how to save. Say no, right? To themselves too, right? No, I can't do this, right? It's not responsible. It's not financially healthy. So telling them no and realizing that they've got to stick to it. Every time they would run out of an allowance and we would just say yes, 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 they'd realize, all right, well, an allowance doesn't mean anything. I don't have to budget. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always this pot of money out there. So that was part of it too. Allowance, saying no. And then also teaching them young how to work. I've had two or three jobs my entire life, all the way back to really high school. I'm teaching my children the same thing, right? You always need multiple sources of income, even at a young age. So if you have an allowance, there's nothing wrong with, you know, mowing that lawn or picking up some trash, taking the trash out for the neighbor, or, you know, whatever it is. Teaching them dual sources of income and working hard is also, I think, a big element of young financial literacy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I also like having them grow their knowledge. I think somebody could never stop learning, always growing their knowledge, expanding their horizons there so they could do more and be more productive, whether they're working for somebody or for themselves.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Some of the smartest minds and some of my greatest mentors, you know, I quote Warren Buffett in the book a lot. But if you listen to Warren Buffett, listen to Bill Gates, you listen to Elon Musk, you listen to Abraham Lincoln, and the list goes on and on. One of the common things they say to their success was reading, read, read, read. Warren Buffett says he spends about 70% of his day reading. Exactly what you said, Steve. Not only comes knowledge, right? But also ideas. Your next great idea, most of my great ideas come from reading. They're not even mine. They're somebody else's. But I just happen to be reading to capture that knowledge and that next catalyst. So I agree with you, Steve. Complete smart.
That's great. That's great. So Paul, tell us a little bit more about the book and then help us understand where our listeners can go and get your book.
So the book is really about our national debt and how it's become unsustainable and it's become structural. What I mean by structural is we don't have a fix for it. If you just pay attention, you'll hear now every 3 to 6 months, we're going to keep on increasing the cap on our national debt, right?
Yep.
You'll hear it. Just pay attention, right? And they keep increasing the cap, the ceiling, as they call it. And so all we do is just keep increasing our national debt without really looking at the real solutions. It's become now unsustainable. And so it's going to lead to a debt crisis eventually. And I show with real compelling data research by some of the leading thinkers and economists on this issue of national debt and that how debt to GDP is a really important factor and we passed that critical threshold. So the book talks about the national debt and, you know, the risks that that's creating. And then it talks about human longevity and how we're living longer and we have to save more because we're living longer. And then also we have an aging population, right? We used to have almost 4 people to every 1 retiree. So we had 4 people working, adding to the tax base for 1 retiree. That's about to shift. Mm-hmm. We're about to have 3 retirees for every 2 people working, right? So we have a lot less people working, adding to the tax base. So a combination of all of that, right? Debt, human longevity, and an aging population is what I call the great conflux. And when you understand all of that and how it's coming together for the first time in human history, literally, those 3 events are reaching thresholds for the first time in human history that are causing a lot of contagion. That's why making money and saving is more important today than it has ever been. It's always been important, but now it's more, it's absolutely imperative. Because of the great conflux, as I talk about it. And so my message really is to people, understand the issues, understand the risks, save more, invest more, prepare for the future, because the future has some risks tied to
it. Here's the next question, which is also very important. Where do people get your book?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Most bookstores online have them. And obviously, there's a Kindle audio version as well.
Beautiful. Paul, I want to thank you for joining us today. This is wonderful. I love the fact that you have experienced and brought across the things that you have done with your children to help them be good financial stewards. And I appreciate the book because that's something everybody does need to know about. Even though people do stick their head in the sand about it, it's important to understand that because right now a lot of people might know there's a crisis, but they don't want it to affect them and they're sticking their head in the sand over it. And they should be pushing more and more for their politicians to actually do something about it now. So it'd be better down the road. Yep, there's going to be some pain, but sometimes a little pain now makes it a lot better down the road. So I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you being with us. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it as well. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Folks, we're going to be right back with some more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. We had Paul Janschred, author of Money and Morons, How to Build Wealth and Protect Yourself from the Great Conflux. What a great book. You want to go check it out. It's a Forbes book. It's outstanding. But what I'd like to talk to you about right now, the NCAA National Championship in basketball. Great game, great tournament, the whole shot. But it reminded me of one thing that's occurring right now. Currently, we keep hearing about that Magnificent Seven, the Magnificent Seven, but really it's the S&P 500. But what's happening is that Magnificent Seven is pulling that S&P 500 forward. It used to be the Magnificent Seven. Now it's come down to the Final Four. Okay, just like the basketball tournament, the Final Four. Pretty soon it'll be Final Two, then One. And the reality is, we're in a situation where essentially the whole market's propped up on 2 to 4 stocks. And you've heard it with the note of caution from Morgan Stanley and many others, because the market is overvalued, this irrational exuberance like we saw in 2000, 2007. There's going to be some sort of event. We might not see it coming. That's going to take the market down. It could be, think geopolitical. We got Gaza. We got China. We got the supply chain interruption because of what's happening with the Red Sea or the Panama Canal. It could be the supply chain gets disrupted. It also could be the fact that the Federal Reserve is not raising interest rates because inflation is still strong. And think about that. Ever since, late 2022, we've had Wall Street keep talking about, hey, well, they're going to lower interest rates four, five, six times. In fact, they said they're going to lower interest rate 8 times this year. How many times have they lowered interest rates? 0. And because of inflation, they're not expecting to lower interest rates anytime soon. And since they're not expecting to lower interest rates anytime soon, you're seeing the Treasury notes have a higher and higher interest rate. And what that does is put pressure on your performance-driven money. That's the money that you typically use for your legacy, because that risk-free rate of return is getting to a point where people go, is it really worth risking the money? And when you look at the money, the aspects of money, you want to look at performance money. Okay. This is your legacy money. This is the money that if it's up today, gone tomorrow, it won't affect your lifestyle. And the reality is, time is an ally of your performance money, because even though we have economic viruses, market viruses, God willing, given enough time, you will survive and your asset will be higher. Then we have performance money. Performance money is the money that you use that is obligated to you to support and maintain your lifestyle, to cover your health care, your long-term care, all that kind of stuff. Time is not its ally. Why? Because you need it now. And if you're all sitting up there on the growth side of things and the market corrects and you're down 20, 30%, what are your options? Yeah, to reduce your lifestyle. You want to reduce your lifestyle in retirement? Or it's cannibalize the stocks that you still have that at a lower value have to sell off to maintain your income. And then you have to hope the remaining stocks grow back. That's the number one peril. Folks, right now, it's so important to focus on your purpose-driven money, the money that supports and maintains your lifestyle, and finds a way to isolate and protect it, because what you're doing there is you're isolating and protecting your lifestyle, your income, so that's not disrupted. I want to thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. I hope Paul Janschred, you can get his book, Money and Morons. You want to check that out. And you want to think about how you can go about isolating and protecting your performance-driven money. Folks, we're going to be right back with some more Saving with Steve. Thanks for joining us today on Saving with Steve. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.